Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena, Kirsten, how are you?
Good, I'm excited for the show today.
I've got to say I'm excited too because I know nothing about metal.
Well, look, scratch a metal fan and you'll get a 3-hour lecture about it. So don't you even worry.
I'm ready.
Shout out to West Auckland this morning.
Yeah, big shout outs to West Auckland. I hope everybody's ready to text in with some reckons as well. 5395.
I hope they have their black t-shirts on.
Yep, and their long hair, is that a thing?
Yes, yeah, and the weird thing is some people, you know, they're like, oh, it doesn't make us look like hippies, because it did evolve from, like, you know, obviously the hippie scene and the punks of their short hair.
See, hang on, that surprises me so much. So metal came out of the hippie scene.
Well, like Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
That's the nexus.
Okay.
Ooh, you like that nexus. So in the late 60s, you had like Led Zeppelin, and then you had early 70s Black Sabbath and Deep Purple starting, and that's where you get that harder sound. And they also had long hair.
Right.
Because it was, you know, still, you know, they weren't the clean cut kids. They were, the, you know, of the hippie kids. And then... And this is, you know, so the timeline's very interesting. So then it wasn't until like the late 70s, which is a long time for a genre to bubble.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
Without either dying off or whatever. The late 70s, early 80s, which is the period we're focusing on here, it becomes actually the iconic period. And so iconic that it's called traditional heavy metal, which is funny, you know, because like it's traditional.
With your lutes and your...
and it's called... especially the UK part of it is really important. So it's called Nwotham.
Nwotham.
The new wave of traditional heavy metal.
Oh, okay. It's an anagram.
So that bump in the early 80s is the new wave because it had been going for 10 years.
Got you.
But it had this huge pickup. It was in the charts.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't until like the end of the 70s that it really became codified as headbangers.
So it kind of had a sort of sound, but not necessarily a name until around this time.
That's right. Okay. So people were playing with this harder sound. I mean, you go back to Black Sabbath, the, you know, really loud and fast electric guitars, and that kind of singing. But
right.
Of course, you can hear it in Robert Plant as well. So
you can, yeah.
What are we playing first?
We're going to play some Motorhead. This is Ace of Spades.
So this is iconic British... One of the most unattractive singers, I've got to say, lead singers of all time.
Hey, different strokes for different folks.
No. Well, I mean, he got a lot of sex, so I'm sure he did fine. Lemmy. Have a look up Lemmy. Oh. And this was a big chart hit, which...
Yeah. I was going to say, big chart hit. A lot of films.
Yeah. In. Which was unusual for metal. And, you know, probably helped it reach other people it might not have reached. Now, Lemmy claims that, you know, it's not metal, it's rock and roll.
I was going to say, it's got a real rock sound to it.
Well, you can hear that more American country blues thing.
Yeah.
But this is British. This is, you know.
Okay. Yeah, that guitar, like, that riff is real bluesy.
Yeah, you can hear the sound. And metal is all about... creating the best live experience. So this is, you know, it's fine to listen to it, but you're supposed, you know, it's live experience. You can hear the speed.
I was going to say, my kind of like, I think, cross-section with metal music is mostly from movies.
Mm. Okay.
School of Rock being a big one.
Someone texted in saying Tony Hawk.
And
I think that might be I think this was a song on the PlayStation game. Is
I
that
think
what
maybe
you're
it was.
To?
Yeah. Tony Hawk.
I think
skater.
It might have been. Yeah.
So that's interesting. Ways of keeping it alive and relevant in new spaces, new contexts.
Well,
you know,
the Tony Hawk game is old. Really old.
But I mean, this bringing it into sports.
Yeah. Right. I'm with you.
You know. So, like, you know, it's not just stuck in the 80s.
Yeah.
So is the look a big part of it? Because there is a look that I have in my head when I think of metal, and I'm sure a real metalhead would tell me that that is not quite correct.
It is
lots
correct.
Of leather.
No, there's a look.
Big hair.
Leather? Is it leather?
I'm going to talk about the leather next. But,
ooh, like leather
pants. You know, black t-shirts, black jeans, long hair. And you really, with the headbanging and the long hair, it's quite an effect. I'm thinking it's not just headbanging, it's headbanging and then this flow.
The flow of the hair. The drip of the sweat.
What about moshing? Is that that's a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what do they call it? The death pit?
The death pit.
Or something like that.
So, you know, metal and punk were happening at the same time, and it's funny, they used to hate each other in the 80s and battle, but now, like, you'll see them together in the record store.
Okay, this is definitely a different vibe from what we were just listening to.
Don't worry, it picks up. So this is Judas Priest, also British, also, you know, this is 1978, so it's also this peak. So you can hear the Led Zeppelin-y, slightly classical.
Ooh.
Got some people texting in saying that the Ace of Spades is the greatest song of all time, just so you know.
Okay.
A curse upon your house if you don't agree.
Okay.
Someone says it was in The Young Ones. Two people have texted in saying it was in an episode of The Young Ones.
Really? Okay, now Judas Priest supposedly were the ones that brought the leather in.
Okay, okay.
And then apparently they'll say it was from punk style, but Rob Halford, the lead singer, he's got a fantastic voice, was gay. And so some people feel he brought it
from the leather daddy scene.
So in one of the sort of more misogynist genre...
This is one of those mornings I'm glad people can't see my face.
And she's she's doing the devil horns.
Goats up, and I don't know if this is not a face people need to see. This is my metal face.
Stank face. But honestly, some great vocalists like Dio and, you know, Ozzy from Black Sabbath, you know, Rob Halford. And it's not as harsh as we imagine it to be.
No.
And I'm curious to come back to this because you were telling us a little bit off air that there is a big difference between metal and heavy metal if you go on the right forums online.
Oh, my God. Traditional metal, heavy metal, thrash metal, speed metal.
What's speed metal? For another day.
Well, it's a faster version of this.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, bands will call themselves something, which is different, might be different than what, you know, an academic. But I think nobody would argue that Motorhead and Judas Priest are part of this British Nwathum.
I mean, this is righteous.
Yeah, I think, because it's leaked in... You know, through grunge and through our sort of pop punk, skater punk, you know, the rap rock, so that those songs can even sound harsher. Mm. This actually sounds tolerable.
This also, you can definitely hear that kind of Robert Plant-ness to it as well.
So, were there any girl bands?
Yeah.
There's some amazing girl metal singers now.
Okay.
Phenomenal. Super hot metal babes. And they sing just like this, like, oh, they're amazing. But at the time, I mean, maybe there were some, but none that, like, came through.
It was dominated by the dudes.
So Judas Priest are one of the big four of metal.
Oh.
It's Metallica, Megadeth, Anthrax, and Judas Priest. But, I mean,
just some.
So someone's texted in saying BFM needs to play more metal.
Okay,
so they're obviously enjoying it.
Slayer!
Mm.
Play some Slayer! So, guitar solo, fast drumming.
I do quite like the guitar solo parts.
Yeah. I'm sorry, this shows where my musical education for metal really does stem back to the School of Rock, but I can't get Jack Black out of my head right now.
Well, he does such amazing sort of copy of, like, Dio and Black Sabbath, I mean, and Ozzy. Yeah, he's made it a parody because he's so good at it, and he's funny. But he's actually doing it well, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He's a true fan, and I guess he's an example of that metal means a lot to
people
that like it. It's not like a music, like, oh, yeah, I like that song.
It's a lifestyle.
And the lyrics often to do with trauma, drugs, the devil.
We've got someone texting and saying, and then hair metal ruined it.
It's so funny. I thought so too, but most of these forums were including, you know, Bon Jovi and Twisted Sister.
Really?
You know, as metal. I guess they're trying to show the wideness and the impact rather than what's
iconic.
Yeah. And those bands did make it in the charts and were hugely successful, and is possibly why, you know, we all know about it and it's not a little niche thing, you know?
There is a lot of love for the Young Ones episode with Motorhead. So this person said, oh, wonderful. I think I'm going to have to go watch it this weekend.
Someone's texted in and they said, is it just me or does Iron Maiden sound like a horse race? So okay. It's a bit polarizing out there, I think. Actually, maybe that's a positive thing.
Yeah, it could be a positive thing.
And
it's
there
just
was
an
big
observation.
Hype in the 80s, Judas Priest and then the next band were playing, where people like sued them, believing that their negativity in their lyrics had caused, you know, teen deaths and people taking their lives.
So there's a bit of a moral panic around it.
Huge moral panic around metal. But
okay,
the people that get empowered by it show that I think most people are finding this.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's like any genre where people are like, oh, there's a bit of, you know, they wear a bit of black and they stick it to the man kind of thing, and people freak out. And you see that with rap, you see that with punk,
yep.
You see that with hip hop, you see that with anything. People are like, moral panic.
And were those kids already set, you know, like, because so many kids who are sad find empowerment in the music.
Yeah.
Metal makes them get up in the morning. It makes them feel tough. It makes them fight their battles.
Mm. Yeah, you can. I feel like it's never a good reason to blame the genre.
It makes people find community, you know?
Hard out.
The metal community is definitely strong.
Someone's texted in saying that they had a show on BFM in 1999 and got told off for playing Motorhead. Who was the station manager then? Push. Shout-outs to Push.
Yeah.
Yes.
So someone says that the Big Four refers to thrash metal.
See? I told you.
There we go.
As opposed to heavy or just metal.
Or hair.
Okay, so...
I mean, this is cool.
Let's clarify. Those Big Four are thrash. Ugh, those vocals.
Yeah, they are incredible. It's really operatic almost, eh?
Yeah.
You have to have incredible range, and it's not yelling. It's really, really tough singing.
Someone's texted in saying, female metal heads unite. It's a super blokey genre, but generally really welcoming to women.
That's awesome.
Nice to hear. So that's nice.
That's really awesome.
There's a funny academic paper about female metal heads and the different body types.
Oh, that seems problematic.
I know.
That seems like
some particular types. And
that seems like some dude wrote that paper.
So is this Slayer now?
We are playing some Slayer.
So what's funny is they're so iconic, but they're and part of this kind of wave, but they're from California. They're not British.
Okay, so when does it jump across to the States?
This is the same time. This is 81.
So how are they? I mean, you don't have the internet. Yeah, it took a while for records to jump across.
Metal's been going for, you know, like the
long
last
time.
Decade.
Yeah.
And Slayer, okay, because I read a lot of defensive metal, but I think Slayer were the naughty ones as far as satanic devil worship.
Oh.
You know, people are like, it's not devil worship. Slayer kind of were. I think even, I think this is Wikipedia. It's good-timey devil worship music.
Good-timey devil worship.
You know, and people would
That feels fitting for Halloween weekend.
They would cut the band name into their arms.
Oh, don't do that.
Or their chest.
That is terrifying.
And they also were sued for, you know, related to some teen deaths.
Shit.
So I think these were the naughty ones, but... So these... And Slayer supposedly, you know, kind of led to extreme metal, death metal, black metal, because they were... They were the darker. Not that the rest of it wasn't dark.
This person sticks it in and say, I haven't met a metalhead that didn't have long hair at some point.
So apparently this song is about embracing your insanity. Actually, no, this is 1990. Wait.
This is Seasons
in the
Abyss.
Maybe they started in 81. This is 1990. Yeah, so this was like the development. Crossing the ditch. But for such a messy sound, it's also quite tight.
Yeah.
You know, like
hard
it's,
out.
It's distorted, but it's.
Certainly intense.
Apparently, it's faster and angrier.
But again, like, this would be so mint live.
Yeah.
See, you can kind of hear the influence on, like, if this is the 90s, you can kind of hear the influence on, like, Nirvana and bands like that kind of move into grunge.
And you can, yeah, hear that moving into the sort of rappy ones, you know, the Linkin Parky.
And to hark back to a few weeks ago when we did nu metal.
Yes.
Which is a big old blend of lots of different things.
And you can hear this, I think Slayer definitely. I guess that bringing it into the American, leaving that traditional British.
Someone's texted in saying, tonight at the Power Station, there's two New Zealand metal bands, Pacific metal band, Shepherd's Reign, playing original Pacific metal.
Love them.
And then Devil Skin, with probably the best female vocalist in New Zealand.
Yeah, I've heard both of them.
They've said she growls like the devil and sings like an angel.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. So if you want to go, if you're enjoying this and you want to go along and see some metal, you can do so tonight at the Power Station.
I don't think I'm a metal person, but I know both those bands and I've seen Devil Skin live. Yeah.
Well, we play heaps and heaps of Alien Weaponry on BFM, and they just are, that is, apart from School of Rock, Alien Weaponry are my metal band.
You gotta watch Shepherd's Reign.
Shepherd's Reign, okay.
Yeah, really cool, like Alien Weaponry mixing their culture.
Yeah.
Well, because we've done, I know we've done death metal. Death metal will really be mixed in with the Norwegian paganist culture, and there's folk metal, I think we've done that as well. It really does lend itself to those tweaks of, you know, mixing with an organic, I guess, that paganist element. You know?
Yeah, hard out.
So, black t-shirt with a leather vest over it, you think? Thinking?
Somebody has texted in to say, I've just finished Scott Ian from Anthrax's autobiography.
Ooh.
He said Slayer would never smile on stage, but were some of the nicest guys around, and Pantera were the naughty ones off stage. Yes, Pantera... I don't think are very nice from some Googling I did.
Well, because the Metallica guys, too, they seem actually, except for Lars, really nice.
I think the Pantera guys have a history of being slightly racist.
Or quite racist.
Quite racist. Yeah.
Slightly racist. You know, just racist. Slightly. Yeah. It's like slightly pregnant. Oh, love this.
We are having a couple of texts coming in for the hip-hop and metal crossover, which is pointing out Anthrax and Public Enemy doing Welcome to the Pterodome.
Yes, yes. I almost picked that one, but I wasn't sure if it was taking us a different direction.
But it's good to note. It's very much good to note.
Ice-T has a metal album.
True.
Yeah. And, I think Ice Cube's done stuff with metal. Well, I think that's very much the L.A. scene, you know?
Right.
There was that Linkin Park, Faith No More, you know, like, because the kids all grew up together. Well, Chili Peppers.
Yeah. All around that sound.
That's like very LA, I think.
Well, we better wrap this up. We could metal all day.
I know,
but
right?
What are we going to be talking about next week, Kirsten?
Northern Soul.
Northern Soul. We are really jumping around.
I know.
I'm looking forward to that. Northern Soul is a bit more my wheelhouse. Thank you very much.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
Right on.